Anthony Herron, analyst with not only NBC Sports, but also the Pac-12 Network. Anthony, hope you've had a great week. As always, welcome back to the show.
Johnny, yeah, it has been a great week, man. We're just rounding into Super Bowl form. We're getting into that part of the football calendar where we're thinking about draft analysis and breaking down some recruiting. I'm going to be on the Pac-12 Network in just a couple of weeks for the, I guess, what's the traditional national signing day on February 7th. So a lot's happening right now. It's been fun.
Well, speaking of which, by the way, I mean, you know, up until this year, I mean, here we are 12 days away, and there was certainly a lot more conversations at this point in previous years compared to this year. To me, I really project that after next year, when they can make changes, there's going to be some tweaking because of the fact I think the first go around with the early signing period back in December, I think it's taken away from the thunder of what this year's signing day is going to be on February 7th.
Yeah, it does seem like the luster is certainly different at this point when we're looking at the traditional national signing day versus years past because of the early signing period. And there's a learning process for all of us just in trying to figure out what to expect and how the recruiting cycle would end up playing out, having the ability for national letters of intent to be signed in December. And I think what a lot of folks ended up noticing was that, you know, a lot of the top players decided that since their decision had been made internally, and, you know, they'd made their commitments, they decided to go ahead and sign. And we have a lot of these students now, as you know, in recent years, where it's become really prevalent for some of these athletes to go ahead and enroll early and be at the school during the spring semester. For me, I call the U.S. Army All-American Bowl every year for NBC, and that's usually a broadcast that once the players get done with us and get done with that Saturday down in San Antonio, then usually by that following Monday, a lot of the top players in that game, those players from all around the country, of course, they're headed to the campus a lot of times for the school that they've committed to, and then National Signing Day would come thereafter. One thing that I would like to see change is just to have the ability for the players that end up signing in December, for them to, you know, if a coach leaves, if a coordinator leaves, if someone gets fired and the administration is still, you know, all the coaching turmoil that ends up playing out as soon as the season ends and throughout the month of December, you know, I would like to see that if a coach leaves and takes another job, basically right as a kid is signed with his school, then I think it would be fair to the athletes at that point to allow them to, you know, it wouldn't even be the term transfer, just to get out of their NLI, their National Letter of Intent, and reopen their recruitment and go to a different school because the coaches shift as frequently as they want to. I don't think it's fair to the players to say that you have to be locked in regardless of where this coach, who's likely been recruiting you for multiple years, ends up taking a different job somewhere else.
I would give you that with the one stipulation that person that is signed can go to anywhere else if they want to open it up. They just can't go to the school where that head coach moved to. And the reason I bring that up, because guess what? Say it's LSU that had been recruiting this individual, been recruiting you, Anthony, for 2+ years, and you commit and you sign to go to LSU, and then a week later, he takes a job with, I don't know, throw it out there, Michigan. And so all of a sudden now he wants to back out of his agreement with LSU and follow the coach to Michigan. I don't think that's fair, but just mainly because of all the investment and time of the money spent by LSU on you, I don't think if just because somebody makes a decision to change their career path and move to Michigan that a week later you're allowed to make that change. That's the only stipulation I'd ask for.
I mean, that's a compromise. You know, I certainly wouldn't have an issue with the players going to the same school who the coach who they had formed that particular bond with. Like for me, you know, my personal example, Brett Bielema was the coach on the staff at Iowa who recruited me to become a Hawkeye. Now, he ended up being there the entire time. Now, I did go through a head coaching change where after 2 years, Hayden Fry retired. Kirk Ferentz, who's still there now, took over for the last 2 years I was there. I played as a true freshman, so I was only at Iowa for 4 years. But let's just say if, for example, you know, another school who offered me, who I considered very deeply, Wisconsin or even Michigan State, if Brett Bielema, after I committed to and maybe even after I signed with Iowa, said, well, you know what, I think I'm switching jobs. I'm going to go become a Wisconsin Badger instead. And actually, my visit to Madison, I really enjoyed it, like Wisconsin as a school, just didn't dig the coach that was recruiting me there. And so that vibe, that bond with the program wasn't formed in the same way, because I really had a good bond with Brett Bielema. If he had gone to another school, I could have definitely seen that painting a different picture for me on whether or not I wanted to be a Hawkeye. If he had gone somewhere like Wisconsin for another job, I could see that being something that would have had me want to become a Badger. So I personally wouldn't have an issue with players being able to you know, I guess, follow said coach in that scenario. But as a compromise, if there's just one school that's taken off the ledger as opposed to some of these schools where the kid's going to transfer, if it's not a grad transfer, where they say you have to leave the conference, you have to go to some other side of the country, you can't play anybody who's on a schedule over the next 4 years. I think we take so much power out of the hands of the athletes. And it's been this way for a long time. But I think it's the power is on the opposing end, on the end of the school who has plenty of resources, on the coaches who make millions of dollars. And we don't focus enough on how do we actually empower and make comfortable the athletes who are the ones who get this one shot at this 4 or 5 years of being a college athlete, that I think sometimes we lose focus on what's actually a way we can make them comfortable to enjoy their time as a collegiate athlete also.
Come on, Anthony, be real. The only reason why you didn't like Wisconsin, you hated the song, the jump around song. You didn't want to do it, didn't want to be a part of that. It really turned you off and thought they were crazy. Thus, you had to go and stay with Iowa.
My jump around experience and playing at Camp Randall Stadium in Madison, Rondé was, a year or two older than I was. So I think 1 year. I think he had me about 1 year. So it must have been my junior year at Iowa. We played at Madison, and it happened to be the game that Ron Dane broke the all-time collegiate rushing record. And so we're at Camp Randall Stadium. He's broken the record. He needed, just over 100 yards or something. Through the first three quarters of the game, he had already attained that rushing record. So we go into the fourth quarter, and you know how they do it. At Wisconsin, the fourth quarter break is there between the third and fourth, and they're playing jump around. I just remember looking around in the stands. We were on the field on defense at this point. Just looking around during the quarter timeout, and I just remember locking eyes. As Jump Around comes on, I think it was the House of Pain. You hear that opening riff. And not only is it the student section, not only is it the kids, is it the 18 to 24 or 24 to 45 demographic, there's the oldest people you can imagine. And the Badgers have a very old fan base, and they are just jumping around, screaming their heads off as they've just witnessed Ron Dane break the all-time rushing record. And that's probably as much as Camp Randall Stadium has rocked, certainly any time I've been there.
Having a chance once again to visit with our good friend Anthony Heron. Anthony, today, it started earlier this week with the silence on the campus of Michigan State and, you know, the fact that the fallout from Dr. Larry Nassar and the fact that you had so many individuals on that campus just turning their eyes or covering. I'm just going to say it. They were covering up things. But now we get the news today. Mark Hollis already resigning his position, retiring from his position. So he is out. But now with this story being leaked outside the lines with ESPN, there have been a lot of cover-ups. To me, I don't really see any difference between Michigan State than Penn State or Baylor with regards to Mark D'Antonio as far as the football program or Tom Izzo with the men's basketball program. Help me understand why in 2018 we are still talking about these type of things that should have been ended back in 2011 with the scandal with Penn State.
And there's so many different angles that just confound me, that just boggle my mind about it, because you have in recent history the Penn State example of an athletic department that failed their student body to such a deep degree. So if you look at it just as a human being, as a person, and you see the way that administration failed their students, and you know, not even just students, just failed young people who were associated, who were around their athletic program, then maybe you take that example and say, let's make sure that doesn't happen here because it's our duty. We have a responsibility for that. But then if you just look just from a responsibility, fiscally, the responsibility you have to the athletic program and just saying, let's make sure we don't put any of the donors, the boosters, the employees, the athletic department in that predicament as well, just where their career path may be up in the air, may be in jeopardy. Even if you're not from a humanistic standpoint, even as concerned about the folks who are in danger. But then just go to the depth of how people would allow this to play out. And to me, it points to the thought that, and I had a discussion with a number of people yesterday, because here in the state of Illinois, I was on the radio in Chicago, where they're trying to pass a rule right now in the state of Illinois to outlaw tackle football for anyone under the age of 12. There's a number of folks up in arms about it. Now, to me, is 12 the right age? I don't know for sure, but where I would draw the comparison is because I believe there's concern for the institution, and I'll say institution from a macro standpoint, whether you're talking institution for a school, institution for a vocation, institution just for a way of life, just using the broader term of institution, we lock in and being so concerned for that, there's an opportunity to help someone in need or to actually make someone safe, you know, and to come in and literally in some situations save young girls. We're talking about what happened with Larry Nassar, Michigan State. Save young women with all these different sexual assault allegations that have been permeating through various athletic departments in recent years. But for fear, and I don't think that 100% of these people have zero concern for the young women, but they've obviously been more concerned with how do I protect the institution. And there's even quotes from different coaches who, when they were approached by some of these female gymnasts and saying, well, if we go public with this, then I don't know. There's going to be a lot of trouble that gets caused. And basically just in saying that, you hear them being concerned for the institution, whether
right.
that institution is their school or their career in general.
Well, a good example is the member of the Board of Trustees who has no desires to resign. And because it's an elected position, just like you would elect a state senator or a state rep, it will take a recall to kick Joel Ferguson off the Board of Trustees at Michigan State. And what an idiot for anybody to be saying the kind of things he was saying earlier this week. It makes me wonder, too, with the things that are coming out, if Mark D'Antonio, along with Tom Izzo, keep their jobs.
Well, depending on how deeply this goes, and I'm not going to act like I've read all the details with Izzo and D'Antonio. Once I do, certainly have a more detailed take on that part of it, because some of those things broke today. But even, Michigan State football obviously had their own issues during the 2016 season, where a number of players got kicked off the team for some of those misgivings there. So there's been recent issues there already that lead into some of the recent findings that it sounds like came out today. But to me, whether you're talking Joel Ferguson or anyone in a position of influence within an athletic department, it seems to be difficult, but I hope that more and more people, after seeing some of these examples, whether you talk Penn State or Baylor or now Michigan State or whomever it may be, with some of these seemingly program-wide rampant kind of issues that have come out, that they find a way to take a step back and recognize that when there's humans in danger, especially young people, the Nassar situation with girls 12 and 14 years old that he's doing certain things to, it's just unthinkable to me that they can't put themselves in the position of the victim and recognize that the victim or the person who's unsafe, these young people, are far more important than the institution we're attempting to protect. And that goes to the parallel I'm drawing with tackle football. I didn't play tackle football until high school. I could care less if they say you can't wear pads until you're 12 years old. Because if that protects 9-year-olds' heads and their brains, and there's science that backs that up, which most of the reports I'm reading seem to indicate your brain is not fully developed at that age, so it's safe to wait a few years until you're tackling people, then I don't care if a 9-year-old wants to have pads on and he doesn't. Make the kid wait a few years, because we're the adults and we should do everything we can to protect young people and not just keep this institution churning as it has been.
And this is why I wish they would find ways to really, and I know they can, but from a political standpoint, they don't want to go down this path as far as enforcing. But individuals like this that have knowledge should be held accountable. They should be serving jail time. When we look at whether it's Art Briles or Ken Starr, the list goes on and on and on. Everybody associated with Penn State. I'm still shocked that, Kendall Briles doesn't seem to be hurting at all. He's offensive coordinator for Lane Kiffin last year. Now he's a part of the Houston staff. I don't want folks like this, because I've worked in college athletics, because it means so much to me, because I expect adults to be better than anybody else, especially when you're impacting future leaders, men and women, etc. I don't want people like this ever to have jobs working with youth. if you know what I mean.
I couldn't agree more. And, you know, when you have this type of stain on your resume, to me it doesn't mean that you can't work anywhere ever again, but it seems pretty fair and pretty simple to me to say that you shouldn't work in intercollegiate athletics, in youth sports,
right,
whatever the case may be, an opportunity to influence young people and to have their safety in your hands to a certain extent, that's a right that you've lost, and you need a different vocation.
Anthony, as always, we appreciate our visits and really appreciate the fact that you're outspoken as well, and you believe the kind of things that I believe. It's refreshing, and the reason I say it, because if we don't keep talking about Penn State or Baylor, and guess what? I'm including now Michigan State a part of that conversation. Those things will continue to happen throughout our country, from the West Coast to the East Coast, and that's why I'm going to continue to do it and to embarrass them every opportunity until adults start being accountable for their actions, especially in these types of positions. Anthony, before we let you go, let the listeners know again how they can keep up with all your coverage of football and more.
I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Big Ant Air, doing plenty of radio coverage here in the city of Chicago, talking plenty of Bears. And actually, you know, next time I speak to you, we can give you some thoughts on what's happening with Marcus Mariota and the Tennessee Titans as well. Got a few opinions on that, just as the NFL carousel churns. But I'm on Twitter at Big Ant Air and Instagram as well. As I mentioned earlier in our call here on the Pac-12 Network, February 7th, National Signing Day. Be on there for about 4 hours throughout the afternoon, talking National Signing Day around the conference. And we got NFL draft coverage and combine and everything else. So it is a fun time of the year from a football standpoint, because while the NFL ends, you know, this is the year-round industry that we're in here.
Oh, you got that right. All right, Anthony, have a great weekend, and we certainly look forward to talking to you again soon.
All right, thanks a lot, Johnny. You do the same, buddy.
Thank you.